Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This is indeed the broadcast for June the 6th in the year of our Lord, 2017. Never forget that our goal is to protect life, liberty, and property and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. This is indeed Solutions Radio. Welcome to the broadcast. Hope you're all doing absolutely fantastic. Without further ado, our buddy Patrick Simmons, righttowork.org's online, riding shotgun today. We got an email from Mark Mixman, and they're doing some awesome things. Patrick's in a little bit of a hurry today, so we'll just get straight to it, see what's going on with those guys and the tremendous things that are happening, and then we'll let him fly. Hi, Patrick.
How are you, Sam?
Marvelous, my friend. You guys are busy as all get out, aren't you?
Yeah, it's a busy day, an exciting day. Today we announced that we're filing a petition with the U.S. Supreme Court asking them to take a case out of Illinois called Janus v. AFSCME, and it's on behalf of Mark Janus. He's a worker, works for the state of Illinois, and the state of Illinois forces him to give money every month to the AFSCME union, and so that AFSCME union officials can basically lobby the government on his behalf. And we say this violates the First Amendment. He's being coerced to subsidize speech he disagrees with. The government is forcing him to pay money to this union, a union that he doesn't want, that he never voted for, that he would prefer not to be a part of, doesn't want to associate with. And so we're asking the Supreme Court to take this case. And if this sounds familiar to you and your listeners, there was a case last year on this exact same issue. That one was the Friedrichs case out of California. It looked like there were going to be 5 votes to end all forced dues for public employees in America. And then Justice Scalia died. The court ended up splitting 4-4 on that. So we think there are 4 votes to overturn this, and our hope is that the new Justice Gorsuch will be the 5th vote, and we will have right to work for every public employee in America.
So what does this mean? It's almost like this is the landmark case that's going to change the tide if we're successful for a lot of things, because we're really talking about the First Amendment, we're talking about false representation, we're talking about not being able to have these big labor organizations force the narrative for an individual. This really changes the whole discussion if we're successful, right?
Yeah, we think so. And actually, if you look at what union officials say, they seem to think so as well. This is a case that it was not a secret that this case was going to probably end up at the U.S. Supreme Court. And in anticipation of us filing this petition, we've seen comments from union officials. One, former Obama Labor Department appointee named Naomi Walker, who's assistant to the president of the AFSCME union, which is the union in this case, her said was without forced dues, the entire progressive movement will crumble. That's a nearly direct quote from her. And that's, you know, so union officials claim, they'll say, oh, this money doesn't go for politics. But, of course, when it comes to the public sector, it's all political. It's all speech directed at the government, talking about how tax dollars are spent, how public education is run, how government employees treat taxpayers and everyone else, and how they interact with the public. And so our message is simple. No one should be forced to subsidize this. People want to, they can do so, but being forced and being told if you want to work for your own government, if you want to be a teacher or a firefighter or a police officer or any type of government employee in over 20 states in this country, currently you're forced to subsidize union official speech.
And that's really the whole battle line. We're not even against unions, Patrick. What we're against is forced unionism. If people want to join a group wherever they want to, hey, they should be free to do so. The problem we have is when they're forced, when it's against their will or without their knowledge, or in a scenario where they can't work or be free to choose as they will. But if they want to literally choose to be part of a group to have representation, there's no problem with any of that. So I think people misunderstand who we are and what we really are saying, right, a lot of times. And once they get what we're saying, instantly, almost everybody's on board, even all kinds of union members, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we know we've done polls of union members and union households. They overwhelmingly support right to work, which is just what we're talking about, the idea that the choice to join and pay money to a union is up to each individual. They can do it if they want. They don't have to. They cannot be forced to if they don't want. There have been polls about right to work, and they find that, you know, independents, it's about 80% support. Republicans about 80%, and then even a majority of Democrats. You know, Democrat politicians, you'll oftentimes see they get a lot of money from organized labor. When it comes to votes, they're frequently voting for more forced dues powers. But actually, Democrats as voters and just as the average citizens, they also support right to work. This is bipartisan support, but of course, organized labor is a very powerful special interest that derives a lot of their power from their ability to force people to pay them. And so, you know, that's how they've protected their power over all these years. And we're asking the Supreme Court to apply a standard that it holds for everyone else. As the petition to the U.S. Supreme Court, it states that this is the largest regime of compelled speech in America. There's no question that you know, no other type of organization has this power. A private
not only there's a two-sided coin here. Not only is it compelled speech on one side, but it's the suppression of views and speech at the same time, right?
Yeah, and of course, you know, they're given this special power to be the only group to have a monopoly to speak for workers who don't want them to speak for them, and so it suppresses their speech while forcing them to subsidize speech they disagree with. So it's a big case, and of course, you know, there are millions of workers in this country, public sector workers, who right now are forced to pay money to a union as a condition of government employment. And our message is that's wrong. That violates the First Amendment. And based on some cases that we won, a 2012 case called Knox v. SEIU, and then a case versus in Harris v. Quinn, also out of Illinois, in 2014. We had two victories, and the Supreme Court laid out what a standard, and we just want, if they apply that standard, we think that that we will prevail in Janus v. AFSCME, and the court will strike down forced dues for public sector unions.
Now, with this huge, in my opinion, breaking news piece, it's an opportunity for Donald Trump to speak out about it and take it to even greater heights. It's also an opportunity for, say, Rand Paul in the Senate or Steve King in the House or some of these people to really focus on this. It's a chance to really force the mainstream press to talk about and deal with this narrative. You could have some governors talk about it. There's several people, but this is an opportunity of a lifetime. Do you think some of these people will move the needle for us?
Yeah, well, we certainly hope so. I mean, the last time this case came to the court, we saw a number of governors, senators, attorney generals across the country file briefs supporting worker freedom, the freedom of workers to choose for themselves if they want to support a union or not. So we're gonna hope that that's going to take place. If the Supreme Court takes it, we will certainly be asking the Department of Justice and the Solicitor General to support Mark Janus and file a brief on their behalf. And of course, it'd be great to see Donald Trump and other elected officials talk about this issue in public, because you know, right to work, as we were saying earlier, right to work is popular. It's a winning issue. It's a pro-freedom issue, and you know, the more we think it's good politics and good policy to talk about right to work, talk about freeing workers, talk about giving workers choice.
All right, let's talk a little bit about the labor board. I know there's been hopefully some people working on putting some people in place there that'll be a little bit more friendly to liberty and to people's right to choose and right to work ideas and such. We hoped Donald would move on it. He's been so buried with things to do that he hasn't really gotten to it, but we're hoping to move the needle there too, right?
Yeah, that is, unfortunately, I think we're almost in the exact same spot we were the last time we spoke about this. The NLRB, is a five-member board. Currently, there are three members, two of which are Obama appointees who vote consistently to put union boss power ahead of the rights of individual workers. And, you know, that was very much Barack Obama's position when it came to unions and workers as well. And so we've been calling on since day one, Donald Trump, to fill those two spots.
Or just shut down the board entirely. We'll take that, too.
Well, yeah, although he can't do that right now. I mean, and the problem is, as long as there is a 2-to-1 majority of Obama nominees,
then we're in trouble. Hold on just a second.
And they will keep issuing rulings for union bosses.
Amen to that. Patrick Sim is our guest, righttowork.org, landmark case coming up. We'll keep an eye on that ball. Back in seconds.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
Patrick Simmons, righttowork.org, our guest. They got an incredible breaking news piece about a case that really puts the First Amendment, I don't want to say on trial, but front and center, to say the least. Will we really have union bosses just run roughshod over the First Amendment rights of individuals? Or are we going to back the First Amendment for individuals and say, wait a minute, people are free to work, free to associate as they will? And that's really the heart of this. I say it's landmark. I say if we win this, it's going to really change the whole discussion, the whole narrative. Now, the labor board right now, there's three people on it. Two of them are Obama appointees. Every case going against us, really, almost. And we got to put two new people on the board and or shut down the board entirely. You know, I think Donald ought to suggest that to Congress, and Congress ought to just shut it down. I don't think we need the board at all. But if we're going to have it, we got to be very careful to make sure that it's at least a fair fight. Patrick, anything else we ought to be aware of really quick before we let you fly?
Well, I think you covered it. I think one other thing, of course, is we're always, you know, our Supreme Court case talks about we'll create, if it's successful, a right to work for public sector employees. But of course, in states without right to work laws, private sector employees are also forced to subsidize unions and union speech they disagree with. And the solution there are state right to work laws and also a National Right to Work Act. And so if people go to the National Right to Work Committee website, nrtwc.org, they can sign up there and sign a petition asking their congressmen and senators to support the National Right to Work Act, which would repeal the federal law that gives unions this extraordinary power.
We can only pray. All right. Anything else we need to be aware of?
I think that's it.
What can people best do to help?
Well, right now we're certainly asking for financial support to back this Janus case. The last or one of our previous Supreme Court cases, we had a judge rule that our costs were over $1 million. So you know, it's expensive to win these cases. Now it's a huge deal. We can shut off billions of dollars of forced dues every year with a victory in this case. But of course, we do this for free on behalf of workers who come to us and want to defend their rights. And so certainly any contributions would be appreciated. But also just sign up and get our alerts. And that way you can find out everything that's going on. And when there's some key piece of action to take, we'll be able to tell you right away.
All right. There you have it. Thank you, Patrick. We appreciate you. Godspeed, my friend.
All right. Thank you, Sam.
There he goes, Patrick Simmons, always doing a great job. RightToWork.org is their website. And I'm telling you, it's worth donating to these people because they're doing a great job. Now, I know a lot of people that work in industries that have union representation. Oftentimes, on the local level, say, look, Sam, you're wrong on this. My union's wonderful. My union, they're great people. You know what? On the local level, that may be true. I don't deny that there's a lot of great representation that happens when people work together. I don't deny any of that. And I'm for that. I'm not against any of that. The problem that you don't understand is you've got the government in bed with these union bosses at the top that are betraying the rank and file and chapters and local leader, or whatever you want to call it. They're being betrayed. That's the problem. So there you have it. Anyway, good news in this case. Hopefully this breaking news will make a difference. Kurt, any other tidbit on this?
Well, just imagine, Sam, people being able to choose to, do with their money what they want. I mean, not being forced by government to, support certain ideas and things like that. I mean, we're really coming to the freedoms of America, you know. But, you know, at least it's a little bit more of the whole draining the swamp and the, you know, making America great again. That's what we hope. You know, I mean, it's so amazing to me how every time, you know, these things come up, they have to do with a choice. And the same crowd who simply wants to force me to pay for killing babies, they certainly don't want to allow you to have the choice to do with your money what you would like, do they?
Well, and we need people to focus on that. Pro-choice doesn't believe in choice, or, you know, the lack of choice in the pro-choice movement really ought to be, you know, something focused on. But it's hard, Kurt. It's hard to get, you know, people on the beat with what's happening, right?
Well, that's right, because so many of them just don't know.
Yeah, good point. All right. Now, Kurt, there's a lot of people in the Bundy situation with cases. And as we mentioned, this one gentleman got convicted. He was the first folks of the Nevada. Jeremy got 7 years, already in for 16 months without even a trial, finally gets convicted. They're going to appeal, but he languishes in prison wrongfully so. I'm going to say that again, wrongfully so. Just for you patriots that don't get what I'm saying, wrongfully so. He should not even be there. But now he's got 7 years. And, you know, you would say, well, Sam, you should support the courts or support the, you know, well, he hasn't had appropriate due process, in my humble opinion. Okay, neither has Ammon or Ryan or a lot of these people, Cliven. And the same is true for a lot of them, but there's all kinds of trials unfolding that I don't think people are keeping an eye. How do you say this name? Barbo, Kurt, this guy's last name. Jury selection, the Barbo trial just happened. It was completed by noon yesterday. Opening statement by the witnesses. Court observers say that the judge was fair, and they cut anyone that seemed biased in either direction. That's good news. They don't expect this trial to take very long. Hopefully it'll be complete by week's end. The author emailing me the details on this, by the way, comes from Readout News. We got to give them a big shout out. Thank you for them, readoutnews.com. It's R-E-D-O-U-B-T, readoutnews.com. And she says, I did not get to court today. This is yesterday's filing to me. But she says, I'll be in the courtroom for the remainder of the trial, and I'll be glad to report how it goes. And anyway, we're going to help and cover these cases. And I don't know if she wants her name mentioned, so I'm not going to mention who's emailing me on this. But it's part of their staff. I want to give a big shout-out to the Readout News people. They're keeping us up to date on some of these trials that are happening. Because it's critical. I'm going to say it again. It's absolutely critical that we have an update on this stuff, Kurt.
Well, and Sam, just so you know, there's another little trial or two going on, at least one, you know, that has to do with a guy named Bill Cosby. And, you know, the thing that was interesting to me as I read through the story from, you know, pretty well-researched story from across the pond, by the way, you know, I mean, here in America, I don't know if they want to really push that kind of idea, but across the pond, they're just reminding you that here's a guy who he's been accused of all these things, and in fact, he's even admitted to them, at least in one instance, well, he was free on bail, Sam, $1 million bail in his case that, I mean, $1 million is probably like, you know, 10 cents for some other guys or whatever, but the bottom line is he was free on bail, not in jail since these allegations came about. And yet our friends, so many of them, like the Bundys and others, hey, they languish in prison without bail, right?
Yes. And the problem is, and a lot of people are focused on the Bundy case, and rightfully so, Kurt, a lot of people are focused on these different cases. A lot of people are attacking us. But we're doing our very best on this, Kurt.
Well, that's right. And, you know, you've got the Lavoie Finicum thing with a man that, in my opinion, was murdered, you know, by the FBI. And yet, you know, hey, there wouldn't be any real justice for that. You know, then on the other hand, Bill Clinton's, the Hillary Clinton's, the, you know, Bill Cosby's, they're basically either out on bail or without any problem with the courts or anything, right?
Yes, and we're very skeptically hopeful on the Schuyler Bible, how do you say his name?
It's Schuyler. Barbo. Or
Barbo.
Is that what you said? Yeah.
B-A-R-B-E-A-U.
Barbu. Yeah, a little French stuff going on there.
S-C-H-U-Y-L-E-R. Oh, I guess it's Schuyler. I'm sorry.
Schuyler.
It's got a C-H in there is why. But I guess it's pronounced Schuyler. Anyway, Schuyler Bible case. Trial update from Readout News. This is a critical one. We're hopeful in this because the jury so far is being picked. Seems like the judge is fair, and they've thrown out people that might not be fair in either way. So far, it looks like it might be okay.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens. Pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With Liberty News this hour, I'm Dennis Daly. Hillary Clinton has continued her what some are calling excuses tour, taking her time around the country to make speeches and do interviews, placing the blame for her election loss to Donald Trump on everyone but herself. But of course, when it comes to politicians of either color, that sounds familiar. Now apparently she may have gone too far by adding the Democratic National Committee. This brought a quick response from staff members of the DNC, as well as many other Democrats disputing that claim. You know, it would seem that not only has British Prime Minister Theresa May decided that enough is enough. During the overnight attacks in London, citizens fought back, throwing chairs, tables, bottles, anything else they could find against the attackers who were armed with knives as they tried to slaughter innocent civilians. Now, in addition, since many British police officers still don't carry firearms, this did not deter one English officer from using his baton to fight someone who had a knife. All of this may serve as a warning to ISIS. You're listening to LibertyNewsDaily.com.
Audio Compass is the perfect software solution for remote broadcasting. Consider Audio Compass for sporting events, talk show hosts, sound bites from the field, and more. Allow Audio Compass to transfer low-delay, crystal-clear audio over the Internet. AudioCompass.com.
There is a place you can go to get up to speed quickly on all the stories that matter to freedom-loving people. GovernAmerica.com features news and commentary about Agenda 21, technocracy, the economy, border violence, and more. Go to GovernAmerica.com. That's GovernAmerica.com.
With Liberty News, I'm Dennis Daly.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's LibertyNewsRadio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today. With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, Sam and Kurt, breaking it down just for you. So you got this Skylar Schiavo case. And we're encouraged. Tentatively so, I agree. Read Out News giving me updates. They've got somebody at the trial. And they're saying so far the jury selection has been fair and the judge seems to be fair. So we have hope in this case. They say they expect it to be very short. And I hope that's true, and I hope Skylar's free ASAP. All right. Anyway, I don't know Skylar personally, and so, you know, I said his name was Schuyler before, whatever. Don't fault me for that. Skylar's usually not spelled this way, but it's S-C-H-U-Y-L-E-R. So there you have it. Anyway, our prayers are with that case, and we'll keep an eye on that ball. Some folks from Read Out News might be coming on the air, too, to give us better updates. Availability and being in court, and et cetera, and the time of our show is making it difficult for them to join us. But they're willing and they're helpful, and we just appreciate them. ReadOutNews.com. Check it out and get involved in the solutions today, ladies and gentlemen. All right, Kurt, now there's a couple of other news tidbits we need to talk about. First one. All right, a 25-year-old intelligence, they say contractor. Now, intelligence contractor was arrested on Monday in the first criminal case of the Trump administration's campaign against leaks detailing Russian hacking relating to the voting equipment, etc. Now, this lady's name, Kurt, and this is kind of, I'm having a little bit of a problem with this. Her name is Reality. But they say her story sounds more like a spy thriller. Reality Lee Winner is her name. Do you know about this?
Well, yeah, or you could say Lay Winner, L-E-I-G-H. You might say Lie Winner.
I don't know. I wouldn't. Now, here's the weird thing.
Winner.
Now, you got this name Reality for this person that's involved in this weird scandal. You don't know if it's Reality or not. And then Lie. Is she lying? So I chose to say Lee because I don't want to really say, you know what, Reality's lying. But it's weird, Kurt.
They say she's winner, a federal contractor.
So she's going to win or lose this case, Kurt.
Yeah.
I mean, every part of her name is just weird.
It says, even as the document, this is an NBCNews.com piece I'm looking at, it says, even as the document was ricocheting around Washington, the Justice Department announced that a criminal complaint was filed in Southern District of Georgia, charging Reality Lay Winner, or Reality Lie Winner, 25 years old, a federal contractor, with removing classified material from a government facility and mailing it to a news outlet. Now, I just want to ask you a simple question, Sam. If they're going to charge her for this kind of stuff, what about Hillary? It says the complaint.
Well, we were going to lock her up, Kurt, but that was just kind of a campaign election joke.
Yeah. Right.
So that's what happened to that, my friend.
Anyway, you know, they say she was arrested by the FBI at her home. According to a senior federal official, she faces a single charge of gathering, transmitting, or losing defense information. Yeah. So, you know, they say she's a contractor with what's called Pluribus International Corporation. She's been employed at the facility since or about February 13th, and she held a top secret clearance. Her attorney, Titus Thomas Nichols, told NBC News that his client is looking forward to putting this behind her and has no prior criminal history. So, I think this is just some more of that shell game thing, Sam.
Well,
where you go,
here's what I
look
think.
Look over here. Look over here. You know.
I think if you release this real story timely enough, Kurt, you can ignore the murder of Seth Rich.
Yeah, that's exactly what.
That's
I
my
think.
Opinion.
One of the latest stories from WorldNet Daily, the headline reads: nearly 50,000 urge Trump to basically look into the to probe the Seth Rich murder case. The lady writing it is Alicia Powell, I guess you'd say. So it's kind of a big pow. But anyway, they say it's the mysterious slaying no one in the mainstream media or Congress wants to talk about. But nearly 50,000 Americans are now urging President Trump to press for an official investigation into the unsolved murder of DNC staffer Seth Rich. Tens of thousands of Americans have signed a White House petition calling for the appointment of a special prosecutor to investigate the case. Yeah, probably the same one that did like the Vince Foster thing. The petition, which was created May 19th, has almost half the signatures required, with the goal of 100,000 by June 18th to receive a response from the White House. So, anyway, I guess WorldNet Daily has asked 125 members of Congress to weigh in on the unsolved murder, but not a single U.S. representative has agreed to address the case.
Where's Rand when you need him?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Where's Steve King when you need him? Where are Mike Lee when you need him? Where are these people? Where's Ted Cruz when you need him? Where are these people, Kurt?
Well, I mean, this certainly is about protecting life, liberty, and property.
Now, Sean Hannity tried to stand, and he got slapped so hard his head's still spinning.
Yeah, good point.
That's because he doesn't work for me, Kurt. That's why. If he worked for me, he wouldn't be slapped. He'd be cheered on with cheerful applause, right?
Yeah,
let's find
point.
The truth, shall we please? Let the chips fall where they may, kind of an attitude. But see, that's not what's going on when he who owns the media makes the rules. See, they own a bigger media piece than I do, and therefore, but they say Sean's still on the chopping block, Kurt. Think that's true?
Well, you know, that's just part of the whole velvet hammer thing, Sam. You know, he knows he's possibly going away if he doesn't, you know, toe the line. So, at least in my opinion, that's one of the ways you make sure and keep him bridled, if you will, you know. Don't you think?
Yeah, but I'm still wondering, will Sean get shut down?
Well, I don't think he will if he doesn't talk about the wrong stuff. Now, by the way,
I understand that, but I'm going to ask you again. Will Sean get shut down? So the real question, I guess you could change it around slightly and say, will Sean stand up?
Yeah. I don't expect it, Sam, and I wish I could, you know, on the one hand, you probably could, you know, argue, and maybe he has, seems like I've heard him say this before, is, you know, if I didn't have a voice, I couldn't really, you know, bring any of these good stories to light. And so then he may say, well, I mean, if they're telling me I can't talk about Seth Rich, but at least I can do these other things, then it's, you know, better than me not being able to do anything. And all we have is the Rachel Maddows, et cetera. But, oh, for freedom of speech in America, you know, right?
Nearly 50,000 people urged Trump to probe Seth Rich murder. WorldNet Daily or WND.com. Now, this is critical to focus on for a minute here because, you know, Sean Hannity's bringing it up, and if 50,000 people want to know about it, I don't see how you can ignore those kinds of requests. And I would ask a Fox or anybody else, is it worth dealing with this? If that many people believe there needs to be answers here? It's a serious question.
You know, it's loaded with political incorrectness, Sam. And yet,
and intrigue.
Yeah.
And honor for those who have the guts to take it on.
Yeah.
And where will this really lead? You know, if we're going to go ahead and arrest this lady named Reality.
Yeah.
Okay, why don't we just jump into reality a little bit and find out the truth and quit having fake news spin attack people for whatever. Look, we need to know the answer. We need the answer.
Exactly.
Will Hannity stand up for Seth Rich? Will Sean get shut down? Who, Kurt, by Fox?
Well, yeah. I mean, that's who basically pays him the millions a year that he gets, right? And then you may say, well, yeah, but what about those advertisers? They're the ones that pay him. Well, yeah, but they've got this thing called business that they like to do, and yeah, you know, there's.
You know what I'm calling, you know, Fox now? Just call him fake Fox.
Yeah.
Will Sean get shut down by fake Fox? Because he stood up for Seth Rich? Or will the Sean cave? We'll keep an eye on that ball just for you. I hope he gets fired and he joins us or Glenn Beck or somebody and he starts to stand up. Let's see what Sean's really made of, huh? Let's see how much the velvet hammer really controlled him once the gloves are off, shall we?
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way. But actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family.
Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, back with you live. Sam and Kurt doing a great job breaking down the news. Seth Rich murder. I hope Sean stands up. He'll probably get fired by fake Fox, but so what? He could join Alex Jones. He could join us. He could join Glenn Beck. You know, and all. There's the spectrum for you. We're the most common sense in the middle of that all, right? But nevertheless, there's hope there for Sean, and I hope Sean stands up. Sean, let's see what you're made of. Take off the gloves, reject the velvet hammer, and tell your tale, my friend. We need more and more and more Americans to blow up the narrative of the mainstream press and take them on like never before. It's happening everywhere, folks. All right. Now, Donald Trump's in the news, Kurt. But it's not really Donald in the news.
Oh, okay.
It's his business interests that are in the news, represented by the Donald's sons. And whose sons, which appeared on Liberty Roundtable Live, even on Super Tuesday, one of the sons had time for us, Kurt. Because they know where the news is made. They get it. And we appreciate them for that. Thank you very much. And the mainstream press melted down and attacked us. And even in the New York Times, Trump's team defended us, Kurt, and said we're a great talk show with, you know, fair-minded, patriotic views. And you know, it's so good for them. Anyway, I bring all this up, though, to say that they're starting a new hotel chain, Kurt. Did you see this?
No. What's it called?
Well, they're first going to rebrand existing properties like Holiday Inns and Comfort Inns, etc.
Yeah.
And the company has been planning this hotel expansion for the last 2 years, they say, before the campaign. And what would happen is the Trump children would travel around the country, you know, helping their dad get elected, right? But also kind of evaluating hotels, Kurt. And they weren't too pleased with the run-of-the-mill hotels that were out there. So the Trump organization announced plans on Monday for a new three-star hotel chain with a patriotic flair. The chain will make its debut in little-known towns in Mississippi, is, I guess, the idea, Kurt. And they're going to rebrand some hotels to start out, so they'll get cranking up quickly. And you know what it's called, Kurt?
They say it's
American
gonna be called
Idea.
American Idea. Huh. Yeah. And they say they're going to feature artifacts of American culture in the hotels, such as an old Coca-Cola machine in the lobby or American-made sundries in the rooms. And they say while the this is from the New York Times piece, while the Trump organization and his business partner say the down market move is not about politics, the president's business is inherently viewed through that lens. The chain is going to make, like you said, its debut in little known towns in Mississippi, a state in the heart of Trump country. That favored him over Hillary by a margin of 18 percentage points. The organization's business partner in Mississippi is a family-owned hotel company whose co-owner met Mr. Trump at a campaign event last summer and donated to his campaign. Well, there
wow.
you go.
Same well, they say thing. This is kind of a departure for the Trump team because, you know, they've usually been in to real high-end luxury hotels. And it's true. Whenever
yes.
I look at a luxury hotel, I mean, I like to go there and check out the hotel because they're pretty. They're architectural marvels. But I can't really afford to stay there, Kurt. I depend on donors and supporters and stuff, and I don't want to use their money inappropriately, so I don't get to stay at Trump hotels. But I bring all this up to say that now they're backing into some, you know, mere mortal brands that I would actually be able to go to. American yeah. Idea, what a great idea.
Great idea.
Make America great idea with great ideas again.
Yeah.
And they say that the reason why they're doing a lot of this, Kurt, is because they say they're not going to make new ventures outside of America. And so I think they're going to really help a lot of hotels in this case and partner with people and crank up quickly. And I'd like to see one and stay at one pretty soon. And that'd be neat, I think. And at least there's some innovation going on in America here, and there's some new building going on and partnering and saving of maybe some hotels that aren't doing too well and some things like that. And all I can say is there's good news there, Kurt.
Yeah, I think so.
Hopefully there'll be modern marvels with incredible internet connectivity, and then we could just start live broadcasting from Trump new idea or idea America idea hotels all over the country.
Yeah.
I wish I could get a hold of the Donald's team and say, guys, how about if we work out a deal, let me stay in your hotels and I'll be broadcasting and promoting your hotels across the country. Then I'd have a place to stay when I travel, anywhere I go. Telling the tale of Liberty, it would save me a lot of money. And in addition, they would get a lot of free promo as they crank up their new idea, Kurt.
Yeah, American that's kind of interesting.
Is that a good American idea to do that, Kurt?
In the story way down deep in there, it says... their partner in Mississippi would be an Indian American family that through its company Chawla.
Wait a minute. Chawla, partner with an Indian American.
Good point. The hotels, they own 17 hotels in the region. The hotels are currently branded by well-known chains. The plan is to convert at least three of them to the American Idea line. American Idea will compete with nearly 20,000 other hotels in the so-called mid-scale and upper mid-scale business. There's always room for new brands. That's from a professor of hotel finance.
Especially if they're forward-thinking brands with great internet and nice breakfasts, and you know, especially if they cater to modern. We're not really into the whole Motel 6 idea anymore. You know, they used to cost $6 back in the day. But all I'm telling you though is that, people are looking for kind of an upscale but yet mere mortal mid pricing structure, quality service, forward-thinking new hotel brand. Kurt, I think people are willing to do that.
Well, yeah. I mean, people want a bargain, Sam. I think that's what Walmart and Amazon are all about, right?
Yes, but I think people are interested in more than just a bargain. I think they're interested in a great deal and great service, I don't think that the bottom-end restaurants are doing that well. I think it's the mid-scale, nice burgers are doing well, for example, not the cheapest hamburgers you can buy, for instance. People want a quality burger at an affordable price. They want a quality hotel at an affordable price. There's kind of a balance there where most folks are kind of scaling up a little bit, Kurt, because they want service. They want to be pampered. They want to be paid attention to. They want to feel like they're somebody. But at the same time, they want a budget that makes sense for all that, right? Anyway, our poor farmer friend faces $2.8 million fine after plowing his field, Kurt. Should we end on this one?
I don't know. There's a little bit more to this hotel story real quick. The father of this guy that they're going to go into business with was a convenience store owner, and he had cold called Mr. Trump's office in New York to ask for a $425,000 loan. They say Trump returned the call, and while he did not offer a loan, he supposedly called the deal small fry. He instructed the elder Mr. Chawla to explore less conventional sources of funding and said he admired his immigrant story. So, anyway.
Sounds like he hates immigrants.
Yeah.
Admiring the story, giving the guy some guidance of where he could go for business, and then eventually following up with him and doing a partnership with him. Sounds pretty hostile to me.
Yeah.
It shows behind the scenes Trump's true character and what he's really doing for people. It might have been too small fry for Donald at the time. I don't know. I'm not mocking that. Again, that's kind of Donald. Sometimes he says things that he probably ought to not really say. But, nevertheless, I mean, what an interesting story. Now, does that mean that Kurt ought to try and call the Trump Tower and say, hey, listen, we're working on a new video venture and would like Donald to give us a loan? And maybe he'll call Kurt back and, we don't want to do too small fry, though, Kurt. You shouldn't ask for $425,000. You ought to ask for $45.2 million or something. Other than that, though, yeah. I think, hey, there's the pattern for you, Kurt. Maybe Kurt can get to work on that, people.
That's right. I can do that.
All right. Keep me posted. I'll be in the wings waiting, helping out, doing all I can.
Good point. Yeah, me too.
All right. So this farmer faces $2.8 million fine. I guess he plowed his field, Kurt. I don't know what farmers are thinking.
Yeah, well, they're hoping to make America great again, and they're kind of thinking maybe if they just plow their field, they could grow some stuff. But the Record Searchlight is who gives us this piece. And this $2.8 million fine, by the way, comes from their beloved government. And what they did, Sam, is this guy conceded that some of the, well, what they call wetlands on his property, well, he said the ground was plowed to a depth of 4 inches to 7 inches. So you could see the danger here.
Aim into that. Now, the attorney, I kind of like this guy's name. The attorney's name in this case is Francois. Did you see that, Kurt? This dude's name is Francois.
Yes, very good, Sam.
A little different than the reality for your name, you know?
They plan to grow a dangerous...
We want to change our name to Fake News, Kurt.
They plan to grow kind of a dangerous thing there, wheat, Sam. And, you know, they thought that just because they bought the ground and it was theirs, they could just go ahead and, you know, put stuff on there. But they got notice from the Army Corps of Engineers and the California Central Valley Regional Water Quality Control Board. They issued orders to stop work at the site and that they had violated the Clean Water Act. As usual, they didn't, they said because they didn't have a permit. You know, and of course, your beloved government is always going to make sure and, you know, facilitate the use of, you know, I mean, business and that kind of stuff. They wouldn't stand in the way, Sam. But $2.8 million and, you know, maybe that's why it's going to be harder to find food, you know, at least food made in America, Sam.
Amen to that. All right, well, we got to talk about the national debt clock. That sucker ran out of digits, by the way. Back when it went above $10 trillion, that wasn't too long ago, sadly, but the national debt clock could.
Well, that's right, Sam, but I guess you could say the good news is it's been running backwards just a little bit, Sam.
You want to know why?
I mean,
because of the Donald.
That's right. But, you know, there wouldn't be any room for a story like that, would there, Sam?
For who? For us? Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, the other guys.
Oh, you know. The fake news peddlers? Of course
right.
Not, Kurt. They don't do that on their programs. But we do. Liberty Roundtable Live, ladies and gentlemen. We're taking the new media center stage, and we need your help, including financial. LibertyRoundtable.com, LibertyNewsRadio.com. We declare this nation shall endure.